Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I do appreciate you taking part of your time today to spend with us. Again, CCTA is Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and we usually have a group of at least four of us here, and sometimes more. Tonight we have Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
Hal and Rainer James.
Hey there. Hey, Rick.
And Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
A little background on each of them. Bob and Mary came to us from Massachusetts, and gratefully they left the Massachusetts politics in Massachusetts. And
left most of the snow back there also.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And Hal and Rainer. Hal is the chairman of CCTA. Rainer, his wife, is chairman of our state legislative action committee. And those are just the two top official jobs they have. They do everything else that they can get involved in, too. Diane Ruffino. Diane is an attorney. We call her a constitutional scholar. She studied under Judge Napolitano, and she brings a lot of useful dialogue and information to the show. We have a special guest tonight. We got a bunch of amateurs, and we've got a professional that's come in here. We are glad to have Lockwood Phillips with us here.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'm looking for the professional in the room besides you.
Well, tonight we're going to be talking about, and I say tonight because this show is pre-recorded. We record on Wednesday nights, and it plays on Sunday at 11 a.m. and again at 8 p.m. on WTKF 107.1.
Except during football season, Rick.
Except during football season. That's when we get shoved to the side and football takes priority.
Punted. But we got a replay at 9 p.m.
That's right. We're on at 9 p.m. And we'll let you know when that changes back date. Well, before we get started, we're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors. And we urge you to go out and visit our sponsors. Please tell them you heard about them on Wake Up Call. And just say, hey, we love those guys.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites, like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Pan Monticelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. With us tonight, we have the host of a number of shows, I believe, on WTKF. Your primary one is Viewpoints.
Right.
And then you have the Youth Points.
Monday night, right. And then the Y Factor on Thursday evening. Yeah.
And all those are very interesting and informative shows. I enjoy listening to them. I'm trying to learn how to be more professional, so I use you as that role model. Lockwood, again, it's good to have you with us. The topic that I've chosen for the night is the role of media in politics. And I happened to run across an article or a post on a blog site called Ethics Sage. Mm-hmm. Don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I've heard of it.
Okay. And this was written back in 2016, but it was very timely for what I was looking for. He says the media has been referred to as the fourth estate, mm-hmm. with the important function of being the news media, the press, and serving as the eyes and ears of the public. Well, that's what it should be, in my opinion. The traditional print and media reporting has been viewed over time as the way to ensure the American public gets the real scoop on the functioning of government and viewpoints of political candidates. That's the way it used to be. The news media is a societal or political force or institution whose influence is not consistently or officially recognized. A free press serves four essential purposes. One, holding government leaders accountable to the people. That's also an essential function of CCTA, right. One of our primary functions. Number two, publicizing issues that need attention. Again, that's also a function of CCTA. Number three, educating citizens so they can make informed decisions. Again, a function of CCTA. So you can see why I like going down this track. Number four, connecting people with each other in civil society. Another function of CCTA. So those are his four points that the press serves four essential purposes. Free media plays an important role in influencing political discourse during elections. When free and balanced traditional media, print and broadcast, foster transparency and the determination of important electoral information, the rise of new media provides further opportunities for participatory citizenship. You agree?
I agree. And what's interesting is I want to go down that list of that you enumerated a few moments ago. And you noted holding government leaders accountable, publicizing public issues, educating the public and connecting people. The sad part of that, Rick, is number four should be number one. Mm-hmm. If number one were if number four were number one in that list, connecting people,
right,
all the other aspects of that would fall in place. Sadly, we're seeing in our industry, and I'm also a newspaper publisher as
right.
well. We're seeing in our industry a removal of that relationship with people, no longer, and I take great pride in our local newspaper. We take we have country correspondents, they're called, and we're connecting with the community. We recognize the value of our community, and by making that connection, then automatically we start to engage in the education of citizens, which involves public issues. And then finally, out of that, as a result, holding government leaders accountable. But it starts, and I've got to say, you've heard me brag on CCTA and Wake Up Call. I do this often in my conversations with Hal and Rayner, for example, how much I appreciate what you're doing. Newspapers ostensibly, and pardon me, the news media ostensibly, should be grassroots. It should be what is happening on the city street, what's happening in the neighborhood first. We've gotten so absorbed with issues that are grandiose, the big issues, the international issues. And I do a program for newspapers in education. I'm very involved in that. And I point out to people when I'm talking to them, you go into a classroom and you ask the students, you ask adults, for example, who's the President of the United States? Who's the Secretary of State? Who's the Treasurer? Who's the Secretary of Department of Defense? Any number of questions. Who's the Governor? And then I ask, when you dial 911, which one of those people is going to answer the phone?
Right.
None of them.
Absolutely.
Your local community, somebody in your local community. And at that moment, when you're dialing 911, you're dialing because there's something extremely critical just in your life or just in your community. And unfortunately, the media, and to a degree, I would say the population at large, but led by the media, we've gotten so involved in the broader things that don't have an impact on our day-to-day lives. So I go back to that real quickly and just say, starting the list really should be connecting people. And what you've done at CCTA and what we hope to do in our various enterprises is first focus on the local community, the regional community, the things that we can have the greatest influence on.
Well, thank you for that. I agree with you. And I asked, the question I asked you was, did you agree with this analysis that he was portraying here? And sadly enough, I agree in that that's the way it used to be.
It is.
And that's the way it was intended. But here in 2018, what we see in mainstream media, not grassroots or maybe local newspapers or radio shows, but in the mainstream, none of that is true.
To make a comment on that, we have fallen in the trap of celebrity.
Right.
Everything in our lives evolves or revolves around a celebrity. I don't care if it's sports, I don't care if it's entertainment, news, politics, it's all become celebrity. And unfortunately, I think the availability of digital media, the 24-hour news cycle, doesn't accommodate the average person doing their work without having to somehow judge themselves or measure themselves against some other external item or celebrity.
All right.
Well, I think also everything now is based on an 8-second soundbite.
Mm-hmm.
There is no in-depth news reporting anywhere. The news cycle is, if you look at the news cycle in an hour, the next hour is the same hour, maybe a new lead story, but nothing, and that's 8 seconds.
Lockwood, I was interested in what you said about how your newspaper involves the public somehow. And those questions you're asking the kids at school and places like that, the CCTA does some of that too. We do that as well. But what other means do you use to try to stay in touch with the local people, the public through your paper and everything?
Well, in our primary focus, and quite frankly, looking even at our local newspaper this evening, we're at all the board meetings. We cover all the town board meetings. That's our primary focus, making sure, and this goes back to holding government officials accountable.
Right.
But not only is it holding government officials accountable, going back to educating the public, it's making them aware of what's taking place. In some instances, well, we even find ourselves supporting the government action at the criticism of the public. But at the same time, it's bringing a sense of, and I'm Bob, your point a moment ago about the 8-second or 1-hour news cycle. Mm-hmm. We're looking for immediate answers. Mm-hmm. And they aren't there. Government can't provide them. The public doesn't always articulate all the issues that have to be dealt with. So it's a matter of, and sadly, we've moved things so quickly. We're looking for, it's the Burger King solution. Mm. Yeah. We want it quickly, and we want it our way.
All right. Yes. Mary.
What I'm hearing is you're going back to a statement made by Tip O'Neill. All politics is local.
Right.
And that is the root of what you're saying, I believe.
It is. We have lost, and it's a real a challenge. It's a dilemma, particularly for the younger generation. They have lost, sadly, I think, structure. They go off in multiple directions at one time, expecting things, wanting things. It's a lack of patience. So many things have happened as a result of technology to a degree, and also civil discourse. It's one of the things that bothers me the most. That's the reason why I bring this up often on my radio program. The lack of civil discourse. People don't take time to listen, to think about what is being said or told to them, and formulate, you know, an argument or, if you will, a question. They instantly go for what they want. But there's the old adage, sometimes what you want is not what you really need.
Yes. And there's another aspect of this that I think is related. Anyone under the age of 30 grew up thinking the microwave was too slow.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. That is so true.
Well, I'm going to draw us back to the mainstream media again. And I would argue with you that I think the media is politicized. You said celebrity, and I understand that. It is celebrity to a big point. But also it's politicized, and so much of your mainstream outlets are owned by just a handful of companies. Mm-hmm. And you have what's called the Mockingbird effect. Mm-hmm. Every morning at 4 a.m. they post to a secretive website where their news stories or talking points are coordinated, and you can see that by flipping channels. You'll see the exact same phrases, the exact same headlines, and they're all sharing the same information, right. And it's all with a political agenda, one way or the other. So,
Rick, yeah. along with that, I would even accuse the major journalism schools of teaching plagiarism as the proper way to report a story.
Right. Well,
sadly, they're not even teaching that. They're teaching public relations. And that's a topic that really strikes home with me, my relationship with UNC Chapel Hill. That there's a lot of we've gone from good news coverage and connecting with people to just glossing over and publicizing what seems to be the bright, shiny object. Mm-hmm. I interesting story about that in relationship to an editor in Charlotte. How you were going to say something about that? My comment.
Well, what I was going to say is that Rick is often encouraging us all to cut the cable, and Rain and I did that some time ago, and so most of what we get is coming streaming through the computer and the television. So we've cut out a whole lot of the things that really irritated us about watching it, because it seems like you go to ABC, CNN, any of them, ABC, and what do you get? You get the same news from a very leftist government, influence point of view, wanting the government to solve every problem that humanity has.
Part of that is looking at those various news sources you're talking about. Who do they perceive is their audience? That's the question. Right. They're framing their stories based on who they perceive is their audience. I said perceive. And their perception is that their audience thinks just like they think. And that's unfortunate. This goes back to the issue of public relations and the whole concept of developing a story. Reporters shouldn't develop stories. Reporters should
report.
Report.
Lockwood, eventually, that's what their audience is going to be. When they're done with their indoctrination, what's left is the people that think just like them.
Rainer, right? Tell them about Ms. Burris and your high school class.
Well, hold on before you do that. We've got to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll continue this conversation when we come back.
Good.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We're having very lively and interesting discussion with Lockwood Phillips of WTKF's 107.1 Viewpoints program, right, and some other ones he does, Youth Points and the Y Factor. And, of course, we have our normal crew from CCTA here.
You used that word again.
Normal, I know. Anyway, we're talking about media and politics and the effect media has on politics. Lockwood, you brought up some very interesting points. Rainer, you were getting ready to interject just before we went to the break.
Well, it troubles me the way the so-called mainstream media is behaving, and that I think they're trying to drive the train, create the narrative, drive the narrative, thrust it down people's throats. They are not reporting what's happening. They're trying to make it happen. Their role is totally different from the original role.
Go back to my earlier comment about the four items from Ethics Sage. Government leaders holding them accountable, mm-hmm. That was number one. Public issues, identifying them, number two. Three, educating the public. And four, lastly, which I disagree is wrong, should be number one,
all right,
connecting people. Rainer, to your point, the media is, and it goes back to what they perceive as their audience. And this gives me an opportunity to brag on CCTA and Wake Up Call. What you are frustrated about, and what so many other people are, and sadly, those who are frustrated, many of them are that silent majority, is this is not the issue they want to discuss. It is not the issue that most concerns them every morning when they get up in the, after an evening sleep. I go back to my comment. When anyone in this room, anywhere listening to this program, picks up the phone and dials 911, they should be concerned. How accessible are they to receiving care, an ambulance, a fire truck, a police car? How qualified are those people who will be attending? How qualified will the people that they are taken to or aided by, are they qualified? This is an issue that, frankly, does worry every taxpayer, every American, but it's never articulated. And what's happened is, back to the issue of the mainstream media and how they are, is celebrity, it's all about eyeballs. It's not about brains. I brag about this. I had the pleasure of knowing the late James Billington, Dr. James Billington, who was the chief librarian of the Library of Congress. And he and I were listening to a program on information technology. It was 1998. It was a luncheon. And we were sitting next to one another, and he leans over to me and he says, "Lockwood, Dr. Billington and I are close, okay?" The library, who's in charge of the Library of Congress, he leans over and he says, "Isn't it interesting? They're talking about the information age, not the knowledge age. We're flooded with information. We're trying to delve into how to handle this information. We're coming up with," the operative word now is narratives, "without a real understanding of the impact of this information and our decisions." It goes back to what you said earlier. I would argue very quickly that the media has lost sight of its true audience, which is every individual. But they're focused, they see people, they don't see individuals, they now see groups.
Right, and that's interesting what you just said about the knowledge part of it and the decision-making, because most people aren't making decisions anymore. They're letting the media make the decisions for them.
Yep.
Diane.
I used to teach civics, and we used to talk about politics. Politics is the way people, as groups, push their issues, their concerns through government, because government serves the people. And so I listen to the news to see how my issues are being addressed by government. I don't hear that anymore. What I hear is the media talking constantly about what the political party wants, what's their issue, what's mm-hmm. best for them. And so politics has gone away from the real intent of politics, which is to push the people's issues, frame their issues, but to push the party.
Right.
And that's, I think, the divide that we see, because it's like a courtroom. The legal system is adversarial, has to be, and because it's about winning. And politics is the same thing. It's adversarial. It's about winning. You have to frame things as harshly and as diametrically opposed as possible. So that's what we have. The politics are the same way. And I think the best evidence we see now of this abject failure is the walk-away movement. They are frustrated. They're walking mm-hmm. away because the media is telling them what they have to think and what the party stands for, and they don't see it in their real lives.
Right.
So they walk away.
And I think it was George Washington that warned us about that. Hal, before you go, let me jump back to something you brought up earlier, one of my pet peeves that I didn't get a chance to expand on this time. Cutting the cable, cutting mm-hmm. the cord. You didn't mention one of my main reasons for trying to urge people to do that and convince them that it's necessary. It doesn't matter whether you watch the garbage that's coming through there or not. You're paying for the garbage. Each and every one of those people that you totally disagree with and you wish they weren't on the cable, you wish they weren't on the air, the only reason they're there is you're still paying their bills. That's the biggest reason for cutting the cord. Quit financing it. That's the biggest reason.
When I finally got that through my head, you had Hal convinced long before you had me, but when I finally internalized that, I thought, I am not doing this anymore.
Right. Well, I know it hurt to give up certain things that you were used to watching, but it was just a short period of time because now most of those things are now available in streaming media. Hal, go ahead.
Well, back to your point there about the media, I think a lot of the general media has lost sight of their responsibility to report.
All right. We don't have journalists anymore.
Right. No, and that's the point. When Rainer took journalism in school and she became a very good writer, she was the editor for the National Review, Business Review up in Washington, D.C. So she's had a lot of experience at it. And I'd like for her to recite what her high school teacher told her that she took to heart.
Go ahead.
Well, she had a policy that if she, we wrote for the high school newspaper as part of the journalism class. If we were assigned a news story and she could tell what our opinion was of the subject on which we were writing, we got an F, automatic. And one time I got an F for that reason. And I went to her, I looked at it, I thought about it, and I made an appointment with her. And I said, Mrs. Boris, can you tell what my opinion is based on the piece I've written or on what you know about me? And she started sputtering. She said, let me read it over again and we'll have this conversation later. I got an A on it.
when you're dealing with information as opposed to knowledge or whatever else, information and even reporting information now is just 3 or 4 clicks away on any website. You just get out there. But that's only what people are willing to present to you. Somebody on the back end of that website is willing to give you a limited amount of information. And people do not do the in-depth reporting now that goes beyond that information and finds, quote, the real story.
All right. Well, that's a good segue into the next section of this article that I was reading. Citizens are increasingly turning to social media platforms to follow election news and developments. Referred to as the Fifth Estate, this form of news media is a socio-cultural reference to groupings of other viewpoints in contemporary society and is most associated with bloggers, journalists, publishing in non-mainstream media outlets, and the social media. Diane.
Well, I was going to say is the media is sort of an extension of our universities. They're not teaching you to think, you know, to think for yourselves. They're teaching you what to think. They're not teaching you how to think. Mm-hmm. So you go to university, and they're teaching you what to think. They're indoctrinating you.
There you go, okay? Indoctrination versus teaching.
And then you listen
teaching.
To the mainstream media news. They're not giving you information so you can think for yourselves. They are telling you what to think. Yep. The reason people go to the bloggers, is because a lot of the bloggers are more down to earth and they get the facts. They give you the facts and they flesh out the facts. They give you the sources. And then you make up your own mind.
That's right. And that's one thing we harp on here at CCTA a lot is if you're reading something and they don't give you the sources, just discount it. Either that or go out and find for yourself the sources, because we believe everything that we put out there needs to have the sources put out with it. And Diane, you write a great blog. For Love of God and Country, is that correct?
Yes.
.com?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Diane, like we mentioned, she studied constitutional law, and she loves the founding of our country, the founding fathers. She writes about them all the time, and case history, things like that. So for Love of God and Country.com, if you're looking for an alternative to go to for that type of information, that's a great place to go.
You know, something that's concerning me about social media right now is the way it seems to be censored. There are things I've been watching on YouTube that have been kicked off just recently. And one of the things I've noticed is that there are others cropping up. something, One America News Network has something called freetalk24.com,
right. Mm-hmm.
That is something similar to Facebook, and they are vowing that they are not going to censor it, whether conservative, liberal, whatever the slant or the right. tack that a person takes.
That's a very good point, and I'm glad you brought it up, because it's not just Facebook. You got Facebook, Twitter, a number of other outlets.
And
I'm out
wondering about alternatives for there each are, one there, of those
there
kinds
are
of
alternatives popping up for each and every one of them. They're out there. You have to go look. But usually if you find one.
Let's try to find them and talk about them from time to time. Right. I think it would be useful.
There is a problem, though. And it goes back to the nature of an adversarial relationship that Diane was talking about, just to use that as a connection. And that is when you've seen what amounts to a siloing of information. People are gravitating only to one source of information. Now they're seeing the criticisms being displayed by in the process of possibly some of these blogs. But what's lacking, and I go back to the comment from Dr. Billington, the late Dr. Billington, as a matter of fact, he died just recently, is that we don't have the knowledge of how others think. We're getting information about what others have said. I go back to something we're going to be chatting about next Tuesday, as a matter of fact, and it's the topic of learning to debate, to have that dialogue, that discourse. It's not happening. And by the absence of it, we end up losing the listening aspect of our ability, of gathering news and information in a community. The great fear, and there are two great fears. One, as you just pointed out, we really don't know the famous term algorithms being used to determine what items you see, what is actually loaded to your address. There may be a variety of items you've sought relative to topic, mm-hmm. subject matter, but because the algorithm has already determined what you should or shouldn't see, the algorithm determines that something written by Rick, for example, may never even show up in your website or in your news feeds.
So you need a search engine that
you need
can
a
trust.
Search engine. The other aspect, though, of it is it creates a silo. It creates basically an echo chamber. People tend to want to listen to others who are thinking and hearing the same thing they are. And that's dangerous, because you want to know what others are thinking. But at the same time, you don't want to be force-fed what others are saying or thinking. You just want to be able... We need that interchange. And as a result, we're seeing the absence, to Diane's comment, of debate... which is in the term of adversarial relationships, where you actually argue the facts. What's happening now is we're arguing the emotions and not the facts.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I know that our media is not behaving itself as well as it might, but the term fake news bothers me, and I will tell you why it bothers me. It can be used to discount a mm-hmm. valid argument. And I had mm-hmm. that experience today on Facebook. Someone posted something, and I posted a reference to the other side of the story, and they immediately came back and said fake news.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, can you show me something on this source that's fake? And of course, at that point, there was no comment.
All right. Well, you're going to run into that no matter what you do. You're going to have those problems from those problem people.
But the problem is it we're labeling things.
Right.
We are reliant on labels. We're reliant on celebrities. We're reliant on emotions.
And it's all quick. There's no depth.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a good point, too, because where's the self-reliance?
Exactly.
Where are you putting forth the effort to go out and find out for yourself? Because they're also relying on Snopes and other fact checkers, which have their own agendas.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're not getting the truth there either. You've been led to believe that they're actually telling you what's factual and not. But if you'll spend time to go out and do your own work, rely on yourself instead of what somebody else has told you, you'll find out they're not.
And sadly, to the point earlier, people won't take the time. They feel that, as was it Bob you said, the microwave is too slow.
That was
Mary. Yeah, the microwave is too slow. We've accelerated our lives to such a degree that to the 1 hour news cycle. Real quick story. Talking to the editor of the Charlotte Observer, a friend of mine, we were chatting about an experience in Charlotte, in Western North Carolina. They had extended water and sewer lines to a community. And the reporter was writing about the water and sewer lines being extended. And the editor was upset. And I said, why? And he said, there's a lady there who's been living with a well pump, hand pump, and an outhouse. She is now going to have hot and cold running water. Assuming she has a water heater, hot and cold running water, and a flush toilet. And the story is not that water and sewer has been extended, but how has this impacted this family?
Mm-hmm.
We are not telling that. We've stopped telling the story of the people. I go back to connecting people. Our industry, unfortunately, is not connecting people anymore.
What does this flood of information and not knowledge do to our brains?
More importantly, what does it do to our, and this is a great concern of mine, to our civic and civil discourse, and what does it do to a democratic republic?
Real quick, we're going to take another break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and let Hal respond to that question.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills.
To find the date of our next class, visit our website at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com.
Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites, like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, We love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our special guest today is Lockwood Phillips. And Lockwood, thank you so much for bringing such interesting dialogue to the show today. Diane wanted to comment on the microwave issue.
I did. Again, back to, well, first of all, during the break, we were talking about how we want to debate, we want to talk, but one side likes to shut the conversation down, doesn't like to take it to its natural conclusion. And that's really what I want to talk about is, and I taught this in my civics class about debate, and I would have them research or look into an issue and then the next day come back and discuss it. And the way you find out how deeply you believe and how strong your side is until you can't defend it anymore. So that's what we would do in class. We would go back and forth until one side would have to concede, you're right, you make more sense than me. And what a wonderful age we have when we have the internet and social media where we can do that with one another. We could all bring our knowledge and our viewpoints to the Facebook or to other social media, comment back and forth, flesh it out. But the other side will never allow that to continue. They will take it to the point until you are, as I get called, you're so stupid. You're a racist. Ooh, you're this. Racist. You're that.
You're an idiot.
All I want to do and all I think people of, I mean, we all have brains. God gave us a wonderful brain. We should exercise it and use it. But we are blessed in this age where we don't have to be face to face with one another. We can talk across continents, we can cross, you know, across country. We can talk and benefit all from other people's dialogue.
Well, why do you think they do that?
Because they can't defend their positions anymore.
My opinion
is, and they don't
want
to concede that. And even if you outthink them, they will still never go to your side because you're not them. You're not a Democrat, or you're not a liberal. You're not a progressive. You're not of their side.
Well, my opinion is, in a lot of cases, they're afraid the truth will come out.
Or they're lazy. No, they're lazy thinkers. The frustrations you're experiencing with the media, you mentioned that, Rainer, a few minutes ago. The frustrations you have with that.
Sure.
People allow, they don't want to extend themselves. They don't want to challenge. And the other aspect of that,
well,
Diane.
What I was saying, when she says they're calling you a racist or throwing other labels out there, the reason they're doing that is they're trying to shut the conversation
absolutely
down because they're afraid you're getting too close to the truth coming
also out. Also, they just don't want to really argue the case with you and really debate it. It's easier just to tag a label on you, thereby shutting the conversation off. I don't have to go any further because I can instantly say you're a racist or
absolutely
you're a bigot or
you have become an ism.
That's
ism, right.
Ism.
The yeah aspect of this, and I want to make one other comment very quickly. The concept of argument and debate, we come to a conclusion and it's an acceptance of a winning argument. That is not defeat. That is enlightenment.
It's enlightenment, right.
And what we've come to the conclusion is, okay, my argument didn't match up. That doesn't mean I was defeated. We have all come, I have challenged Diane here with my arguments. She overwhelmed me with the facts or the information or the philosophy. We're all better for it.
Yes.
I challenged her. I made her defend herself. She did so successfully. That's not defeat. That is enlightenment. But we have unfortunately gotten to the point where it's a zero-sum game.
Well, Lockwood, you mentioned that we're going to talk about some topics next Tuesday, and I'd like to expand on that because normally we have our monthly meetings the third Tuesday of every month. And that was the plan we had for November, was the third Tuesday, but it just happened to fall 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Right.
So we had to put it off. We decided people were traveling and all. And, of course, as you know, you are our invited guest. So we have pushed it off until the 4th of December, which is next Tuesday. And that's not normally when we would meet, but our Christmas party is going to be on our normal meeting the third Tuesday. So the 4th of December is kind of a novelty, one-time thing we've done here. But tell us a little bit about what you're going to be the moderator that night.
We're going to moderate. I may even be part of the program because we're going to have a college student and possibly two college students. I'm really kind of excited about this, who are involved in a program on leadership. And the concept is civic and civil discourse. There's a program that's being conducted this weekend at Duke University and NC State. And we're going to get a report on that. It's a great opportunity. And I'll just tease it. There's some aspects of it that really bother me, but there's some aspects of it that I think are going to be really interesting and enlightening. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I want to make one other quick comment related to the media and the role of grassroots in the media. This program is a perfect example of grassroots doing the job. A lot of community newspapers have been started by folks who have just been frustrated or concerned because of a lack of information in the community. The concept of a professional journalist is first a person who's passionate about their community and wants to get the information out. And from that point forward, newspapers or community publications, or for that matter, community radio, get started. And this is a perfect example of grassroots responding to, well, one, an absence of philosophy that needs to be discussed. Because I've got to remind you, you've had, and this organization, CCTA, goes to the town and goes to the municipal and county meetings and reports on them. That's something that has been a dying act in many large communities. This is a perfect example of what can be done in any community in the state,
right,
or in the country.
Let me point out that often at many of these meetings, the only public involvement there are members of CCTA. The public just does not participate anymore.
No, and I go back to the concern associated with Common Core and the work that the legislature was doing. They had a legislative committee.
Right.
I was talking to one of the members of the legislative committee. Every time that committee met, they knew there was somebody from CCTA sitting in those chairs.
Usually and they, about 10 or 12 of us.
And they were complimentary. So many other communities just, they abdicated. They gave up.
And that affected legislation.
It did.
Yep. All it did was change the name.
No, we're still working on it.
But we're still,
but,
yeah.
But this is an example of success of grassroots effort, and I would argue grassroots journalism.
Right. Well, we appreciate that. So, December 4th, Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown Newbern, 7 o'clock, Lockwood Phillips, and he will be bringing some guest speakers with him. Mm-hmm. Lockwood will be moderating along with the members that are here tonight of the CCTA Wake Up panel. We'll all be sitting there kind of like we are right now at a round table around the soundboard. And you talking about grassroots, I'd like to point out also, because we are grassroots, nobody here is getting paid. There are no salaries. There's no financial incentive here. Our incentive is as patriots with concern for our country and our fellow citizens. The equipment we use and all is funded and financed by the sponsors that we have.
Yes.
And that's where the money comes from. Our dues are very minimal. It's $12 a year.
$15 now.
Yeah, we went up. I forgot. $15 a year to join the organization, and we won't even kick you out if you don't have that. So that's what grassroots is all about. Thank you for recognizing that, Lockwood. Hal?
Well, I wanted to mention that Lockwood said we went to meetings, and you mentioned that sometimes we were the only representatives there. And unless there's some hot issue, such as the Equal Rights Amendment or cruelty to animals, people there, or some people will come in for their particular hot button, but to just be there meeting after meeting to try to get them to adhere to a constitutional republic form of government.
Right.
And we're about the only ones that are doing it. And it's public apathy. I'm complaining about it, really. I would love to see the place packed. Generally, with
apathy is a good choice of words for that. The one that really perturbs me probably the most is the school board. The fact that parents are not, they have delegated the authority and responsibility for educating their children to strangers
right.
that they know nothing about. Yeah. And, you know, probably a lot of parents out there don't know that your members of the school board are required to sign a non-disclosure agreement. That's how close-knit they are. They can't act independently of each other. They have to go march lockstep. Well, that shouldn't be, and I don't think it's legal to you.
Rick,
we had some candidates this term along with who pledged that. They would not sign such
right.
a thing. Unfortunately, that particular candidate did not get elected.
Along with that, I question whether the school board, which presents everything in consensus, a consensus opinion, how did they reach that consensus without having an open meeting?
Right. That's another thing, violation of open meeting laws, which Hal has approached them about.
Right.
Another thing is, how do they get parents to participate? They give little Johnny an award. They have award ceremonies at all the meetings. The first half of the meeting, the parents come to see their kids get their award. Then they take a break. And during the break, all the parents take their kids and
actually,
go home.
They were rather invited to. It was pointed out that there's school in the morning. And
right.
we know you probably
right.
need to get...
Well, that's in Craven County. We haven't.
Yeah, that's Craven County.
Well, that's right. We have seen one other county, and they did exactly the same thing.
Thanks for clarifying that.
It's probably pretty general.
Well, we've run out of time now. That's all the time we have for today's show. It's been a very interesting show, very informative. Folks, I hope you've gotten a lot out of it. Be sure you tune in to Lockwood Phillips' Viewpoint show in the
Thank
evenings.
You.
And we appreciate him being here with us tonight. And Lockwood, I've got to get a hold of your list of guest speakers.
I can help you out with that.
Because sometimes I'm digging and searching trying to get some. But again, Lockwood Phillips of WTKF 107.1, right where this show is hosted. So, folks, come back and join us again next Sunday for CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend, and S&D Gun and Knife Shows. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. Jay Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Responsible Security LLC, and Oriental Dragon Boat Races. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.